The word Genesis, it means beginning, right? What it means. The word Exodus means exit. They exited Egypt. Genesis, Exodus. Leviticus means the law. Numbers means numbers. Deuteronomy means two. The second law. That's what it means. The Bible tells you what they mean. Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1 says this. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And that's the way the Word of God should start off with. In the beginning, God. You know, if man was writing the Word of God, you know what they'd do? They would flower it up. They'd put a lot of whipped cream on it, Brother Chris. They'd make it flow. They'd make it really a big deal. They'd have something like a long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away. A star detonated with enough energy to briefly shine an intrinsic brightness of 1 billion of our suns. And in the midst of this supernatural galactical environment called outer space, there exists a supernatural omniscient omnipresence being called Elohim. That's what man would say. I mean, it is right now. When God wrote it, He just says this, in the beginning, God. And you know those four words right there, those four simple words, in the beginning, God, that's enough right there to offend 3/4 of the generation right now. That right there, in the beginning, God, is enough to give the ACLU a heart attack right there. That those four simple words, Brother Al, that's enough for the freedom of religion to start filing lawsuits, and they do, and everything else. Those four simple words is enough to drive this world crazy. When God starts writing His Word of God, He writes it out and He puts it out with a bang. They talk about the Big Bang. There's the Big Bang right there. In the beginning, God. And those four words is enough to offend the world. Those four words are enough to drive the world crazy. And let me tell you, those four words are enough to give a light to get your soul saved right there. That's enough life right there to put you in the right direction to end the beginning, God. John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And He goes on to say this, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. There's enough light in Genesis chapter 1:1, the first four verses right there, to get a lost man in the right direction. In the beginning, God. And I want to give you a few things about it. When God starts His Word off, the beginning, Genesis, He starts it off with a big bang. In the beginning, God. I want to say first of all, there's the affirmation of those four words. You say, what does that mean? Affirmation means? It means a firm, it means a strong declaration that something is true. When God writes His book, He hits the ground running. There's no debate. There's no argument. There's no wiggle room. There's nothing there for about the existence of God. God just puts it right out and says, in the beginning, God. I don't argue with people about the existence of God anymore. Now, I used to when I first got saved because I didn't know any better, but you're wasting your time. Argue with somebody about the existence of God is like arguing with a man drowning in the ocean and he's saying there's no such thing as an ocean. God is everywhere, brother. He drowns it in it. You know, I like that joke I heard one time about these two men are talking, Brother Al, and they're sitting there and they say, hey, I got the dumbest boy you ever seen in your life. That kid of mine, he said, that's the dumbest kid you ever seen in their life. He's dumb as a rock. And he said, that other man said, hey, he ain't seen nothing. He said, that boy of mine's a dumb one. He said, that kid got rocker brains. And one of them said, he said, watch this. He called his son. He said, come here, son. He said, son, he said, I want you to, here's a nickel. And he said, I want you to take this nickel. I want you to go down to the Cadillac place down there and buy me a new Cadillac with this nickel, okay? had it in his pocket. He said, okay, Pop. He started heading down to the Cadillac dealership. And the other man said, you think that's something? Watch this. Watch this dumb kid of mine. Watch this. He called him. He said, son, I want you to do me a favor. Son, come here. He said, what's that, Dad? He said, I want you to go down to the barber shop and see if I'm there. And he said, okay, Dad. So you know what happens. They start walking along and they start going along. And they're heading that way. And they meet. And they run up to each other. And one of them boys said, hey, man. He said, I got the dumbest dad the whole world. And the other said, he's not as dumb as that one I got. You wouldn't believe how dumb the one I got. He said, one of them said, listen. He said, I'll tell you how dumb my dad is. He gave me a quarter to go, a nickel, and told me to go buy a new Cadillac. And he didn't even tell me what color to get. And the other boy said, you think that's something? He said, my dad's so dumb, he told me to go to the barbershop, see if he's there. And he said, all he'd have to do is get on the phone, call, see if he's there. You know, when I hear somebody arguing about the existence of God, Brother Al, you know what I want to say? I want to say, here you go, here's a nickel, go buy you a new Cadillac. That's what I feel like. Listen, there's the affirmation, in the beginning, God. Brother, there's no argument, there's no debate, there's nothing there. God said, hey, in the beginning, God is strongly, clearly, boldly affirms there's a God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Get Psalms 14. Romans chapter 1, Psalms 14. In the beginning, God, there's the affirmation. It's a strong declaration that there's God. God don't argue. He doesn't debate about it. Romans chapter 1 says this. Keep Romans chapter 1 handy. We're going to come back to it later, by the way. Romans chapter 1. There's the affirmation. In the beginning, God. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says this. That's a great verse. God wrote this. It said, for the invisible things of Him from the creation are clearly seen. See that? The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what God's saying? God said, hey, dummy, open up your eyes and look around. You can see the hand of God clearly by the things that are seen. Dumb, just open your eyes. There's an old saying that says, there's none that's so blind as he that will not see. Like a man, you know, he said, hey, I just can't see it. Well, dummy, you got your eyes covered up. Take your hand off your eyes. And you close your eyes. Hey, dummy, I still can't see. Well, open your eyes. I just can't see it. And then they turn their back. You know what? They don't want to see it. Listen, brother, if you want to see the hand of God, the Bible said, just take a look around and look at the things out there. They're clearly seen. There's the affirmation of God. The fact that they attack God so much, you know what it tells me? That there's a God. The affirmation that they attack God, so the freedom from religion and all the atheists and all that go after God, they don't attack the Easter Bunny. When's the last time you heard a lawsuit on the Easter Bunny? When's the last time you heard a lawsuit on the Tooth Fairy? Hey, one of them kids, I heard one of them, they gave somebody a tooth fairy at separation of church and state. We're going to sue them. Listen, if God's not real, if He's not a big deal, why worry about it, dummy? The fact that they're so concerned about it, brother, tells me that there's a God just by their testimony. In the beginning, God, there's the affirmation. The world tells a testimony loud and clear. There's a great book written called The Persecutor. Sergei Korkadov. This guy, he was amazing. It's a great book. This guy, during the time of Russia, Soviet Union, he headed up the KGB. And this cat, his job was to go in, Miss Rachel, and kill Christians. That's what he did. And he had a lot of men. They were trained in martial arts and all that. And he'd go in there and they'd bust their heads open and beat them to death, Christians. They'd find out where they're meeting. They'd have to meet in houses and they'd finally call them believers. And this guy's job would go in there and he would literally kill them, beat them to death. Well, to make a long story short, he got saved by the testimony of a little girl in there. And he talks about in this book, as a little boy, he talks about in class, said this. One of the testimonies in this He said when he was a boy coming up, he said when they came to school every morning, the first thing they would tell him is this, said this. As we got to the fourth grade, it became more intensive, brainwashing. But one thing stayed the same. Every morning the teacher would start the class by saying, "Good morning, children. How are you today? Remember, there is no God." And she'd have them repeat, "Remember, there is no God." And Sergei Kostov, as a little boy, said, "Boy, whoever this God fella is, they sure are afraid of him." That's the affirmation. But just their attack on you tells you that he's real. In the beginning, God, brother, the Bible said in Psalm 14:1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." I want to say this morning, there's the affirmation of God. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the heaven will show forth His handiwork. There's the affirmation. I want to tell you something about in the beginning God. There's the absolute. There's the absolute. There's no room for discussion. There's no room for interpretation. Our opinion is not needed. I tell you this all the time. Everybody, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a couple and they stink, amen? God's not interested in your opinion. That's an absolute statement. It says this, in the beginning, God. There's no interpretation. There's nothing to mislead. There's the absolute from God. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, there's the affirmation. Not only the affirmation, there's the absolute. In the beginning, God. It starts in the beginning with God. That's the absolute. Genesis chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, 18 says this. Romans 1, 18, here's the problem. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men which hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when they made me known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto none of us." No man has an excuse. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Watch it. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And verse 22 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And you go over and read that. You'll read of homosexuality. Man burning their lust one with another. God gave them up to vile affections over and over and over and over and over. Verse 28, "And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." You say, what is it? I want to tell you there's an absolute, and it's in the beginning God. And what man has tried to do, they're trying to do today. They're trying to get rid of God, everything about Him. There's an attack on Him. I mean, Christmas carols, colors of Christmas. I mean, everywhere you look, there's attack on the knowledge of God. You don't like to retain even the knowledge of God. And the world says, keep an open mind. They say, keep an open mind. Let's be tolerant. Let's be inclusive. And you know what they mean by saying that? Let's get rid of God, what they're trying to say when they talk that way. There's the absolute. There's an absolute God. World says, keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. You know what happens? You have an open mind sometimes. Your brains will fall out. That's what happened to me before I got saved. I didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. You know what? I believe what the world said. There's an absolute. In the beginning, God. And one of the things that drives this whole world, this world, is evolution. I hear what they teach. 140 million billion years ago, out of nothing. Nothing. No space, no time, no matter, nothing. A great firecracker exploded called the Big Bang. And the Big Bang came from nothing, exploded in these stars. There are more stars than grains of sand on the earth in our galaxy. And all these planets and all this life again. You say, out of nothing. That's what they believe. Evolution preaches that everything you see in the universe, me, you, and everything out there, it came from nothing. Listen, that Bible is absolute. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We live in our little Milky Way. And that little Milky Way, our solar system, called the Milky Way. And in the known universe, known to men, what they can see, our little Milky Way is nothing but a speck of dust in the vastness of that universe. In our Milky Way, I'll tell you how little it is. Light travels 186,000 miles a second. In 1 second, light travels 186,000 miles. And traveling traveling at the speed of light. At the speed of light, if you get on our little bitty Milky Way, which is just a speck of dust in the universe, and you travel from one end at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, every second you're going 186,000 miles, it would take you over 200,000 years to get across. You know what that is? That's absolute. That's in the beginning God. Evolution teaches all that came from nothing. I tell you where the nothing is, brother. It's right up here in their heads. They've lost something. We got more stars in our Milky Way than all the grains of sand. There are over 21 sextillion stars in our universe, what they know in our little universe. That's 21 zeros, 21st power. Say, what happened? God made it in the beginning God, brother. There's the affirmation. There's the absolute. And the world teaches, all that came from nothing, honey. Brother, I'll tell you where the nothing, honey's at, is up here. And I believe that. Listen, before I got saved, I believed evolution. I'd have died for it. That's what I was taught all my life. All my life. I told you before, I believe that evolution was the way, the truth, and the life, Brother Al. No man came into the world but by a monkey. That's what I believe. That's what they taught. They told me in school, that's what I thought was the truth. And brother, when I found out and researched that, let me tell you something, there has not one single fact ever been discovered that will support evolution. Not one. They have never found one single fossil that backs up evolution. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's the affirmation, there's the absolute. In the beginning, God. Evolution is nonsense. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you see it taught everywhere. 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's not one single fact ever discovered to back it up. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Lord warns us. He warns us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, he says this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. The word vain means useless. It means wasted. Avoid vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely called, so called. You know what evolution is? It's vain babbling. It's all it is. It's a bunch of people that know nothing what they're talking about, and they're vain babbling, and it's opposition to science falsely so called. Charles Darwin wrote that book, Origin of the Species, in 1889. You know what his credentials were? Charlie Darwin was not a paleontologist. He wasn't a geologist. He wasn't a scientist. You know what he was? He was a seminary student. Charles Darwin went to Bible school. And he got to Bible school. And he got shattered by his faith. And he became an evolutionist. He put out that Origin of the Species. And that went through like a hot knife through butter, man. There's the absolute. In the beginning, God. Evolution teaches everything came from nothing. It came one day, millions and trillions of years ago. One little cell developed life, Miss Rachel. One cell. And that one cell mutated. And that one cell multiplied. And throughout time and thousands and trillions of years, we got this big world with all the cells. You know what? You know your human body. It has 400 trillion cells in it. You know what you're made up? Cells. 400 trillion cells are in your body. Inside every one of those cells is a thing that they discovered called the DNA code. And that code is just like a programming code. I've written all kind of programming code through the year, and somebody put that code in that cell. And every one of those 400 trillion cells in your body has all your makeup, all your code, your hair color, everything about your life is coded in that DNA code in every cell. In 400 trillion cells, every one of those little bitty cells has that code in there. Who wrote that code? Here's a scientist. This is not my opinion. Scientists say, if you could take the DNA code out out of one of those cells, and you could take that code, DNA code, and you could stretch it line upon line of one cell of 400 trillion cells, and you could take that DNA code, it's so complicated, and you could stretch it out line for line. This scientist right here says it would go up to the sun. The sun is 93 million miles away. It would go up to the sun and back 300 times. That's one cell. The code in one cell. If it was put out line by line like this, that code is so complicated that it would go 300 times just like this up to that sun and back. And that code is in every one of your cells. You say, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, there's the absolute in the beginning God. There's a code in you that God set, and it tells everything about you. In the beginning God. Dr. Lamont Bourne, he's the director of research in France, said this: evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups. The theory has helped nothing in the process of science. It is totally useless. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I like that little poem you heard before about evolution. Once I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I is a doctor with a PhD. And that's evolution. That's what they teach. There's the absolute. In the beginning, God, there's the affirmation. Not only that, there's the affirmation, there's the absolute. I'll tell you something about in the beginning. I'll tell you something else. It's the answer. It's the answer. Those four words, in the beginning, God, they answer a lot of questions. Who am I? How did I get here? What am I doing here? Is there a higher power? Is there a hope? I want to tell you, it all starts in the beginning, God. I heard a joke one time about these scientists all got together and they built this supercomputer. And that supercomputer, it was going to answer all the questions of life. Give them all the answers. It'll have the answer, brother. I mean, this thing would have so programmed and have all the answers. And they built this supercomputer one day, and that thing was big as this building. And they all got together, all these scientists that worked on it, and they was waiting for the first question they were going to ask it. And they sat down there and they asked the question, how did life begin? And it flipped some switches and the light started flashing and it started calculating and it spit out a card and it said, read Genesis chapter 1:1. You know what the answer is? The answer is in the beginning, God. That's the answer. That's where life begins. That's where when people spend their life trying to find purpose and trying to find an answer for this life. I'll tell you where it starts. It starts in the beginning, God. I talked to a guy this week at the park. I mentioned this morning. His name was Rick. And Rick, he used to go to Jimmy Hale Mission and preach. He used to go to Brother Brian and preach. And this old fella got saved in 1985, he's telling me. Did really good, and he'd been on drugs before he got saved. And his wife got a divorce or some kind of something in his life. I forgot what he was telling me. But he got a stump in the road. He got back on drugs and all this for 20 years, man. He just got sober in January this year. His daughter sent him to rehab. And he told me, he said, he was down there that day. He said he'd come down there this morning just to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, for the first time in 20 years now, he said, I've got a purpose in life. He said, I've got the answer. I've got the reason. And it's the Lord Jesus. And he said, I come down here just to tell somebody about God. And he said, then you showed up. And he and I had a great conversation. You know what the answer starts with? In the beginning, God. Life starts with that. Brother, that's where this life begins, in the beginning, God. And brother, I'll tell you something else. That's where it's going to end. Bible said in Revelation 1:8, Jesus Christ said, I'm the beginning and the end. Revelation 21:6, I'm the beginning and the end. I want to tell you, the beginning of this life, it starts with God. There's the answer, in the beginning, God.
I like to start my day off beginning with God. I like to spend time in the Word of God when I get up. I like to pray to God. You say, why? I want it to be in the beginning, Miss Rachel, God. Number one, I want to say there's the answer. There's the affirmation. There's the absolute. There's the answer. It's the Lord in the beginning, God. It's funny how people go all around the world, search and search and search and search, and dig for some kind of answer and meaning in life. And all they have to do is pick up Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. It's amazing what the world goes through. I heard a good illustration one time. You know, kids, they're amazing. Kids have faith. I remember years ago, my little old nephew and my brother-in-law, my brother and sister-in-law, they, at the time, I don't think they were even going to church, but my nephew, he's about 40-something now, but he was a little bitty guy. He was the first grandkids my parents had, and everybody's kind of spoiled him. But I remember one time, Brother Alonzo, and they lived in St. Petersburg, and they flew up, Brother Al, and my sister-in-law, I hadn't been saved very long, probably a few months, but the Lord impressed it on me, and she said, my sister-in-law was saying, and Rusty, he was about a year and a half at the time, and he flew on the airplane, and my sister-in-law said, Rusty was so cute, she said, on the airplane. She said he kept looking out the window of the clouds and seeing if he could see God. You know what that is? That's faith. You know what that is? That's the answer. Like I heard an illustration one time about this family, Brother Al, they didn't believe in God. They were atheists. And I know I got some friends like that I used to work with. And they preach and talk about there is no God like we talk about the Lord. And this family, they had some friends over, and they were discussing how there is no God and all this kind of crazy stuff, you know. And they were talking about, I had this little boy, he's about 5 years old, Brother Al, and he's listening to all this kind of stuff. And they got through. And he's been listening to all this stuff about there's no God, you know, and God's not real, and these crazy Christians and all that stuff. And he got time to go to bed, he's going up the stairs, and his dad was taking his little boy to bed. His little boy looked up at him and he said, Dad, you think God knows we don't believe in him? You know what? In the beginning, that's the answer. That's what the world needs to hear. It needs to start within the beginning, God, because that's where this life begins. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You say, what's the answer to the crime in our country? In the beginning, God. You say, what's the answer to all the politics, all the mess in the country, all the filthiness, all the things going on in our country? I tell you, it'll start within the beginning, God. Start with Him. I like that. A story we heard a couple of weeks ago about that young girl, Amber Guyon, that was sentenced for killing that man walking in the apartment. And that judge, who they've been attacking, that black lady judge, what a blessing it was. After they sentenced her to 10 years in prison, that precious judge, that lady, went over there and gave her Bible. I remember seeing it, man. Me and my wife thought, oh, glory to God. And she walked over there and gave her that Bible and hugged her and said, this right here is where you need to start. God has a plan for your life, and you need to start with John 3:16 and then to go to the Gospel of John. That's the right answer. That's the kind of judges we need. Miss Liz, I got a blessing. Thursday night, Miss Liz was talking about, she was out somewhere this week, and she saw this guy, and he was looking really sad. Remember that? She said he looked so sad. And this is what this church is about, by the way, what she just did. It's not about this. It's about when you go out that door. And she said he looked really sad. And so Miss Liz came up to him with a big smile and said, I guess you heard the good news, hadn't you? And she said, the good news is God loves you. You know what that is, brother? That's the answer the world needs to hear. There's the affirmation. There's the absolute. There's the answer. Let me just give you one more. I could give you a bunch more. There's the accountability. In the beginning, God. Those four words right there, it ought to wake us up. It ought to let us know there's someone up there that we're going to give account one day. There's someone up there, brother, that we'll have to stand before one day. Take your Bible, turn to Romans 14. Turn to Romans chapter 14. And Hebrews chapter 9.
Romans 14, Hebrews chapter 9. There's the affirmation. In the beginning, God. There's no argument. There's no debate. There's the absolute. God's in control of this thing. It's all in His hands. And there's the answer. In the beginning, God. Brother, if you can get somebody just headed in that direction nowadays, just like Miss Liz, that was precious. That was beautiful, man. That guy, I bet he swallowed his cigar, didn't he? You know what? Just that little bit right there can make so much difference in somebody's life. Because everybody's used to, the mean and the stuff of the world, but just have somebody come up and say, "Hey, God loves you." I mean, that right there, that's the answer. That's what this church is about. There's the accountability. We're going to stand before Him one day. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Romans 14, 12 says this. Romans 14, 12. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible right here. "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to Donald Trump, to the Republicans, to Pearl Lake Baptist Church, to Brother Terry, to God." That's it. In the beginning, God. It starts off, "In the beginning, God." You know what the first four words in the Bible are? "In the beginning, God." You know what the last word in the Bible is? Amen. Truly. That's what that means. Truly. And this thing begins with God, and it's going to end with God. This life that you have, God gave you down here, He expects you to do something for Him for it. And one day He's going to call you up to it, and He won't going to ask you and get to give account of that life He gave you down here to Him. It won't have anything to do with me. It won't have anything to do with this church. It says this, "So then everyone shall give account of himself to God." You won't be able to blame nobody else that day. It'll be you and the Lord. No one's exempt. That ought to wake everybody up. Those words, "In the beginning, God," tells me that one day I'm going to give account to Him. And I'm going to tell you, I think about that every single day. A day never goes by that I don't think that one day I know I'm going to give account to God for this life. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, I want to be on His good side. I want to get as close to Him as I can. I want to do as much for Him as I can. I want to do everything I can for Him. If I have to give up a few things, that's fine and dandy. Because I know there's going to come a day, and it'll be very, very soon. Boy, this life's like it. It's unbelievable how fast this life's flying by. It's unbelievable. Brother Odell came over. That guy is 82 years old. 82! Robert Mills is 82. I remember when those guys, Miss Liz, were 20-something years old. I was about that big. Them dudes are 82. They're old men. Brother Odell came by and having a hard time. Some things in his life. He'll say, "Man, I sure will be glad this thing's over with." And I said, "Brother Odell, it'll be a skip and a hop away and this thing's done." He said, "I know what you mean." He told me, he said, "I'm 82 years old," and he said, "I still feel like I'm 16 inside." He said, "I still feel like that time," he said, "time has just flown by. I still feel like that little kid." "I feel that way inside too," I told him. "But you know what? Then this body wakes me up. I'm getting old. 64 years old. I'm fixing to be 65 in March. See what's going on? This life is flying by, and it won't be too long. It'll be a couple of winks and a skip, and I'm going to be standing before God. He's going to say, 'Hey, what'd you do for me? What'd you do? Did you waste your time? Did you redeem the time of the days or evil? What'd you do?'" There's that accountability in the beginning, God. It begins with Him, and it'll end with Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9, 27. Another one of the great statements in the Bible. Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. You've got an appointment this morning. It's called death. And it's coming. It'll come to Donald Trump. It'll come to Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world. It'll come to the most famous. It'll come to the poor. It'll come to the rich. It'll come to all of us. Every one of us has got an appointment with God. And that appointment is death. That's where you're going to meet Him. That's it. And it's going to happen real soon. Real soon before you know it. This life is but a vapor, appear for a while. And it's appointed unto a man once to die. But after this, the judgment. You know what those four words tell me in the beginning? God tells me I'm going to be accountable to Him one day. I'm not going to be accountable to this church, but I'm going to be accountable to Him. Some of what I may have did in this church. But I know I won't be accountable to this government. I'll be accountable to Him one day. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And there's two judgments coming. I've given you this. The great white throne judgment. That's over in Revelation chapter 20. That's the lost people and the books were open. And there was a great white throne. He that stood before the books were open. The dead were judged out of them. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And then there's the judgment seat of Christ that you and I are going to stand before the Lord to be saved this morning. And I'm going to tell you, friend, in the beginning, God, you know what that ought to do? That ought to wake you up. That ought to wake you up. Every word we've spoken, every thought we've ever heard, we've ever thought, everything our eyes have looked upon is up in His head. Everything. Everything that's happened to your life from when you were born to you die, you know what? It's permanently recorded in this brain up here. Everything in there is etched. Everything. Nothing goes away. You may not remember it, but it's there. It's there. Bible says one time in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says this, every idle word, not just cuss words, idle word, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every word, everything we've been through this life, everything your eyes have looked upon, you know what? God saw it. And you know what? It's up here. And one day, you know what He's going to do? He's going to hit rewind. And He's going to hit play. And that thing's going to play out. There's a great book written here by a man named Gerhard Dirk. This is an incredible book. Gerhard Dirk was one of the smartest men that ever lived. He had an IQ of over 208. He's the one that designed the computer. He's the founder and inventor of the computer. He has over 140 patents with IBM. He's the one that designed the hard drive. He's the one that designed the memory. Gerhard Dirk did. Gerhard Dirk lived in East Germany, and when World War II came through, and when the Nazis came in, killing everybody, and Hitler and all that, and he was there. And he escaped, Miss Rachel. And how he escaped, he has a photographic memory, a total photographic memory. And he'd go from town to town. And when the Nazis would get somebody, the way they would interrogate them and find out if they were trying to flee, they'd ask them about the town. Say, what about street so-and-so? What about this? What about this? What about... And they'd interrogate them to see if they actually lived in that town. Well, Gerhard had a photographic memory. So he could walk through the town in a few minutes, Miss Jane. He'd know everything in that town. And so they'd interrogate him, and they thought, well, he's okay. And he got out. And he got out, and his mother was a Lutheran, a Bible-believing Lutheran. And she had always witnessed to Gerhard, but she never could get anywhere with him. He was an atheist, a devout atheist, didn't believe there was anything such as a God. He thought that was nothing but superstitious. And he had a friend of his that got saved named Fritz in the book. And Fritz was witnessing to him one day, and Gerhard was giving him a hard time. Here's what the book says. And Fritz asked him, said, do you believe in a final day of judgment? Well, Gerhard asked his friend, said, do you believe in a final day of judgment like the Bible says? And his friend Fritz, the saved, said, yes, I do. I very much so. And Gerhard asked him, said, hey,
Do you think God has all this information stored, everything about everybody, every thought, everything they've done, everything they've ever said? Do you think God has it all stored somewhere? And Fred says, yeah, I do. And Gerhardt asked him, said, where in the world could God store that much data? And Fritz told him this. He said, I don't know, but why don't you go ask him? And Gerhardt said, ask him. Ask who? He said, go ask God. Go get on your knees and ask God, where's all that data at? Where's every word stored at? Where's every thought stored at that one day He's going to judge us? Where's it at? And Gerhardt Dirk went back to pray, and he did. He went down there and prayed. And he said this about that. Then it hit me as he was praying. He knew suddenly where God stored all that data. He got an answer to his prayer without even asking. Apparently God answered his prayer. Everything we've ever seen, everything we've thought, everything we've ever heard, everything we've ever done, everything in our life is stored permanently, unchangeable and unalterable and irrevocable inside our brain. God has filed every single thing in our brain. And all God has to do in the day of judgment, He said, is just hit rewind and play. There it is for the whole world. That's how he invented the hard drive too, by the way. See what he's trying to say? In the beginning, God, we're going to give account. Bible said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and evil. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You won't con him, and you won't trick him. And there's going to come a day, in the beginning, God. Father, pray this morning, Lord, for the message, Lord. Pray, dear Lord, for those four words. How great they are, Lord. Those four words are enough, Lord, to save the world. Right there, Lord. Those four words are enough direction, enough light that people, Lord, can find the truth, Lord. There's that affirmation in the beginning, God. There's that absolute God in the beginning, God. There's the answer to everything out there the world looks for and seeks for and dies, and the wars and rumors of wars and all the things that men and women and young people search for and hope for. The answer to the drug problem, the answer to the opiate problem is in the beginning, God. Start with God. And there's the answer. And there's that accountability. We're all going to stand before You one day. And I know that, God. I know that every day, Lord. I know that every day I'm one day closer. I could take a calendar and start checking those days off, Lord. I'm 1 week closer than I was last week. 1 year closer than I was this year, last year. The days and the weeks and the years are flying by, Lord. I know one day, Lord, it's appointed in a man once to die. There's that great appointment. But after this, the judgment. Help us all to be conscious of that, Lord. Never slight that, God. Not realize how that day is coming. Coming soon, Father. Pray Your blessing now upon the rest of us. Day and upon this message, God, may You use it, God, as only You can this morning, Father, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.